Look at this, 19. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. Verse 20, what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. And now it gets so much worse. You don't see many conferences on verse 21. For to this you have been called. We're gonna do an altar call for the calling. How many of you wanna receive the calling? Suffering unjustly for doing good. The altar is open. It is open.
Hey all, welcome to the Braveheart Podcast. Our mission is to proclaim and live out the gospel as happy and free messengers who walk like Jesus, and to invite others to join us on this beautiful journey of following him. For free video courses and other resources to help you grow in your faith, check out our website, braveheart.run. There's a new course called The Majesty of the Gospel that we've been releasing new episodes of week by week. It's free, so check it out and be blessed. In this week's episode, Peter is at Upper Room Dallas continuing to speak on suffering. We really feel that this is a now word for the body of believers, and so we hope that it impacts your heart. Love you.
Hey, thank you, worship team, JLU team. Can we honor them the way they led us? Media team, to our media team. Yeah. We also don't take for granted who God puts around us, just anointed sons and daughters who can help us see Jesus and adore him rightly. I believe there was a stronghold established tonight. His throne is here. His throne is here. He has authority to do what he wants to do tonight in our hearts. I don't know why you came tonight, but I came to receive something from Jesus, to allow him to be king, to be Lord in my life. We need him, do we not? Let's pray and we'll hop into the word. Father, thank you for tonight. Thank you for your word that's alive, that's active. Cut us tonight as you would. Heal us tonight if you will, Lord. We know that you delight to heal our hearts. And so we give you our hearts the best we know how. We present our whole lives to you. Every belief that we have about you, every way that we are, every relationship, every dollar in our bank account, every day that's been lived that's still marking us, Lord, every day that we will live that's possessing us, Lord, we just surrender and yield to you tonight. You're a good shepherd. Come and shepherd us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you want to go to Ezekiel 34, you're like, woo. Some of you know your Bible. You're not going to believe this, but 20 years ago, I was in college. 20 years ago, I'm going to be 40 years old this year. Can y'all believe that? Jesus is Lord. Joe Awesome asked me what my skincare routine was the other day. Y'all want to know? I drink a lot of water, and I don't use soap, praise God, on my face. Water's enough, it's good. Jesus is Lord. 20 years ago, I was in college, and I was raised in a Christian home, but I was stuck in a cycle of sin and shame and condemnation. I kind of just went on this cycle. Many of you have heard my testimony. And there was a man by the name of Pastor Jeff Dunn. I went to Christ United Methodist Church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And so I don't know if Jeff is watching this, but I wanted to honor him tonight in worship. I was thinking about him, and he preached a message that changed my life at Christ United Methodist Church in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And he had this little carousel on stage, and he played that old Lifehouse song, Six Cycle Carousel. Y'all remember that song? Some of you are like, no. How many of you remember that song? Anyone? Six Cycle Carousel, Lifehouse, raise your hand. Oh my gosh, about four of you. That song, I'm not gonna sing it. I don't know how to sing it. But it was about going around this sixth cycle from sin and condemnation. And he basically preached this message of grace. And he said, God didn't die on that cross so that you could just live a life of just going around from sin and condemnation and death to feeling sorry, to putting a stake in the ground, to Lord, I'll never do it again, and round and around. He said he paid a price for you to get off that carousel and journey into the light. And that was the beginning. 3 months later, I would have a power encounter with God at the Amber Rose Healing Conference at Southlake, at Gateway Church in Southlake. There were these amazing men of God, Randy Clark and Jack Taylor and Lance Wallnau, Bill Johnson. I'd never heard of these guys. This was in 2006. And I go to this conference. It was the first conference, charismatic thing I'd ever been to. I was raised in the Bible church. And I go to this conference and I have this real head-on collision with God. I've shared this story many times, but God pulled out my SIM card at that conference, and I ended up on the ground. I was laughing. I was shaking. The power of God was coming over me. Tongues started coming out of my mouth, and this woman starts doing deliverance, knows nothing about me, starts doing deliverance on me. Praise God. How many of you thankful for women who can do deliverance? This was the lady, you know, that she doesn't look at you, she looks through you with those crazy blue charismatic eyes, like she's been in the prayer closet for way too long. And she laid hold of me and she prayed for me, and the power of God hit me and I was delivered. I was saved. And on that moment, March 9th, 2006, God saved me. God delivered me. He baptized me in the Spirit, and he's led me into the light ever since. And I come tonight, here I am. It's, I don't know how many years later, because I'm not good at math, but it's a lot. Someone, how many? 18. Some of y'all are accountants. God bless you. That was quick. 18 years later, and I'm here, and I'm preaching the gospel, which God's called me to do. But I'm sobered standing before you tonight, because I believe that we, many of us, can relate to that sixth cycle individually. We can relate to that cycle of sin and pain and death and trauma and abuse. And it's happening not just among individuals. It's not happening just in marriages. It's happening on a broad, wide scale in the body of Christ. There is a cycle of sin and pain and death and abuse and trauma that I believe grieves the heart of God. And I'm sobered in this hour. I'm so sobered. And I'm not coming here with answers necessarily. I'm coming here with the word of God, which is truth. I'm not coming here high on a horse. I'm coming before you tonight in humility and in fear and trembling. I have begun to feel in my own heart God asking me in the fires of his judgments to begin to examine my heart and go, God, search me. See if there's any offensive way in me. As a leader, as a pastor, as a shepherd, I am sobered in this hour by what we're facing. Jesus himself said, in the last days, the love of many will grow cold. Why? Because of wickedness. And I feel like we're in a fight right now. There is massive deconstruction and falling away. There is massive sin issues. There's just so much happening. There's vitriol and divisiveness and denominationalism and all these things. And I'm sobered, number one, as just a son of God. I'm like, Lord, keep my heart in the love of God. Keep me in a place of simple, pure devotion to you. Let's keep it simple. Let's not get too lofty and too high. Like what we did tonight is simple. Just look at him and go, Lord, we love you. We need you. Till the end, we need you. But I also am standing here not just as someone, but as a shepherd. And I've been asking God to search my heart as a shepherd. And in Ezekiel 34, there's a rebuke. And I'm not here to rebuke anyone. I'm here to show you that this is happening in my life. I'm reading this and asking God to search me. And I would encourage you to do the same. Ezekiel 34, Just start in verse 2. God tells Ezekiel, he says, "Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat and you clothe yourselves with the wool and you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep." And then he gives four or five things that the shepherds are not doing. He says, "The weak you have not strengthened. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The strayed you have not brought back. And the lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them." So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. "My sheep," says God, "my sheep were scattered and they wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth," watch this, "with none to search or seek for them." And I'm reading this for me. I'm reading this for me. As a shepherd, I'm saying, "God, show me the weak people in my life that you have given me that I have not strengthened. God, show me where I have failed those injured in my life, where I have not bound them up, the sick that I have not healed, the strayed that I have not searched out, the lost that I have not sought. God, speak to me in my heart. Show me." And God, I wanna just stand before you as a shepherd and saying, I'm getting alone with God and I'm allowing him to father me through this text. I'm allowing him to speak into my life and to give me names of people and to teach me how to be a good shepherd. Because I don't know how, but he is a good shepherd and he will teach me. And he will teach us if we're willing. I'm speaking to shepherds. I'm speaking to shepherds. I'm speaking to leaders that we would just be humble enough in this hour to go, let the fire of his presence, let his gaze, let these words wash us. There's another verse in Jeremiah 6:14 that's been rattling around in my heart, and it says basically that the leaders, they have treated lightly the wound of his people, saying peace, peace when there's no peace. And I wanna have a conversation tonight because I believe there is a wound in the body of Christ that we need to address and stop saying peace, peace to. I'm a peace, peace guy. I'm a blood of Jesus brings peace guy. I'm a peace guy. And I'm gonna keep preaching peace. But when you preach peace and there's a gaping wound and people are bleeding out and there's things happening, we need to address the wound. Just speak to the wound. We need to speak to this cycle of sin and pain and death and trauma and abuse and moral failure and immorality. We need to speak to it. Because my concern, I think my concern, my fear is that if we do not know how to rightly handle the pain of abuse and trauma and sin, we will continue the cycle. If we don't know how to rightly handle pain and sin and abuse and trauma, if you don't know how to approach it, it's going to perpetuate. It will continue. And Jesus paid a high price for it not to continue. And so the first point tonight, and this is, I think, if I were to just make one point, which maybe I will, probably won't. I believe one of the biggest errors that we've made in this hour when approaching sin, pain, abuse, trauma, tragedy, is we have had conversations about these things apart from this man. And if you can put that slide up again. See, this is the only safe place to have the conversation about sin, abuse, pain, trauma, tragedy. Jesus Christ is the authority on the subject matter. And the problem is, I believe one of my primary roles as a shepherd is to bring you to this place to process your sin, pain, trauma, abuse, whatever the case may be. It could be It could be internal or happen to you. There's two kinds of sin. There's sins that you are doing and sin that is happening to you. We talk a lot about in the church sins that we're doing, and we say Jesus can free you from the sins that you're doing. But I think we need to talk more in the church about the sins committed against you that he also paid a high price to deliver you from. See, Jesus didn't just pay a price to set you free from sin within, but also from sin without. What do I mean? We're still so easily triggered by sin. We still feel justified when we get sinned against to sin. And in that way, we're not truly free from sin. We're still in bondage to it. If someone sinning against me causes me to sin back to them, I'm still a slave to sin. You may say, well, I got free from pornography, I'm not drinking anymore, and I go to church every Sunday, and I worship God, and I'm free within, but now when someone sins against me, I pick up arms and I'm ready to fight. I love the sonship message, I love the identity message, I love the righteousness message. I'm gonna preach it, Lord willing, until he comes. I'm that guy. I'm a grace guy, 100%. It's just grace all the way. It's grace and righteousness and faith all the way, beginning to end. Yeah, praise God. Grace and faith and righteousness beginning to end. But I wanna repent to you for something. In the path of righteousness, there is pain. And there is discipline that is painful. And I have not done, I don't think, an adequate job of truly proclaiming and including the pain that's included with the path of righteousness. And I wanna ask your forgiveness for that. I'm gonna keep preaching righteousness, but I want to equip us to handle the pain that we will face. The sufferings, the trials, the persecutions, we need it, because I don't wanna see your love grow cold in the last days because of wickedness. I don't want my love to grow cold. And so I'm asking for your forgiveness, and so I want to take you to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. We're going to talk about the discipline of the Father tonight. You know, we love the path of righteousness, right? We love being right. We're like, I feel so good. I feel so right with God. You read Psalm 23, you just feel so loved by God. He leads me beside still waters. There he restores my soul. You're just reading that psalm, it's so happy. You feel so, you just wanna drink a single origin cup of coffee. You know, just my Ethiopian pour over, just thank you, Jesus, still waters and Yirgacheffe, hallelujah. And it says he leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And you're like, ooh, that's nice. And then the next verse, the path of righteousness, he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Hold up. The path of righteousness leads through the valley of the shadow of death. He led you there. He will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. And this is the problem, I think, in this hour, is that we experience pain. We experience the valley of the shadow of death, and we think we're on the wrong path. So then we go back to the still waters, and maybe he's not at the still waters. Maybe he's with you in the valley of the shadow of death. Why? Because he's leading you. He's leading you. My name is Peter, and so I find myself a lot in the Bible, and I like it. But I remember one time I was reading the narrative when in Peter and Jesus are having a conversation, and Jesus is like, hey, Peter. And Peter's like, what's up? He's like, hey, I had a conversation with Satan today. Wait, what? Yeah, he asked me to sift you like wheat. Wait, what? Yeah, Satan asked me to sift you like wheat. And Peter's like, oh, Jesus, you're my boy, right? What'd you said, get behind me, right? Like you did to me? Get behind me. You did the get behind me thing, right? He said, no, I didn't do the get behind me thing. I actually gave him the green light. You did what? You did what, Jesus? Yeah, I gave him the green light to sift you like wheat. But he looks at his friend, he looks at at Peter and he says, but I've prayed for you that your faith would not fail. He said, Peter, because I know what's inside of you. And I know that that sifting is gonna produce a man of God that could come no other way. And so I'm gonna use the enemy like a tool in my hands. You see what I'm saying? He didn't sponsor that. Jesus didn't do the sifting. Satan did the sifting. Satan did the sifting. God is good. God doesn't use sickness and disease and torment. That's none of that. He breaks it off. He delivers you. He heals you. But he will allow sinners to sin against you. He will allow sinners to sin against you to produce Christ in you. Hebrews 12, verse 3, look at this. This is all we're doing tonight. I guess if I were gonna do anything, it would be this. Consider him. Maybe just take a picture of that, we'll go home. That verse, that picture. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. As a shepherd, I meet a lot of Christians who are getting really weary and tired and faint-hearted because of all that's happening in the body of Christ. People are willing to throw in the towel because of man's sin. Please, church. Where is our faith? Where is our faith? I know your faith's not in me. I know your faith's not in Michael Miller. Where is our faith? I'm not teaching you to put your faith in us. You don't put your faith in me. You don't put your faith in a man. You put your faith in this man. He says, I need you to consider him. Consider him who endured from sinners such hostility against himself. Why? So that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted. In your struggle against sin, he's not just talking about sin within, he's talking about sin without, against you. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. This is a hard teaching. Jesus will not diminish the pain that you feel, that you experience when someone sins against you, but he will not allow you to idolize that pain so that you become a victim. I want to say it again. I'm not trying to zing anyone. This is sobering, man. I get if you really like understand it and you write it down and live this out, but like I don't, we need more people that can walk this out. This is like real, man. There's a real battle for our faith. And I'm so sobered. And I don't want to see anyone stray and lose heart and throw in the towel in this day. Especially people coming here week in and week out. I want to equip you. It's painful when people sin against you. And you've got to allow, this is the tension, this is the battle. You got to allow the Father to heal your heart and go, Dad, that hurt. I'm angry about that. I'm frustrated. That's painful. And you process your pain. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And you mourn it, and God comforts you, but he will not let you make an idol of your pain. How do you know you've made an idol of your pain? You identify as a victim, and you're unwilling to walk in life. You're unwilling to walk in freedom. You're unwilling to receive healing. You're unwilling to receive resurrection, life, and power. Again, I'm not here to force anyone on their pain journey and go, well, you need to hurry up and just get over it. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we have a loving Father who sent his Son to heal your broken heart. And until we allow him to do that, we can't actually walk like Christ. Verse 5, he says, have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? He's now speaking into sonship teaching. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as sons and daughters. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Look at verse 10. For they disciplined us for a short time, our earthly fathers, as it seemed best to them. But he, God, our Father, disciplines us. Why? For our good. Why? Why would you do that, Dad? That we may share his holiness. Look at this. Verse 11. For the moment, everyone say, for the moment. All discipline, say all discipline. All discipline. It seems painful rather than pleasant. But later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. Listen to me, there is an expression of the love of your father that is painful. If you're just constantly, how are you speaking so boldly in this, Peter? Because for years I avoided pain. And I was resisting the formation of Christ in my life through a loving father. And I hijacked the process. See, we understand that in any endeavor like sports or music or theater or business, that discipline that is painful produces fruit. We're like, amen to that. I'm going to keep grinding. I play professional soccer. I know how to grind. You work hard, you sweat, you bleed, and you get better. And here we have a father who's committed to his sons and daughters to discipline us for our good. Now, I don't believe sickness and disease and demons, that's not discipline. That's demonic. We need to pray for that, break that off of people. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But there is discipline, and I want to shine a light on that. There's three scriptures I want to give you. First one, Matthew 5:43. I'm going to make this practical. We got 10 minutes. This is discipline. This is Jesus talking. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Huh. But I say to you, come here. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Why? So that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. If you've never done this, it's painful. Loving someone that you deem is unsafe and that is trying to harm you as an enemy that's persecuting you, loving them is painful. Feels unsafe. But I want to tell you, you have the Holy Ghost inside of you. And your capacity to love is bigger than you think. Your capacity to resist sin, to resist evil, is bigger than you think. Your capacity not to lose heart in the midst of betrayal, in the midst of injustice, your capacity to endure that in Christ is much larger than we think. Your capacity to see sin, to see terrible things happen, and not to lose your nerve, not to lose the light of the gospel coming out of you, to not compromise and to become like a carnal flesh ball when you see sin. Can I be real? You see this with politics. People just lose their mind in politics. Christian people. Like, Christian people, all of a sudden, in politics, they may see something wrong, evil, wicked, off. And I'm not talking about speaking the truth and going, man, that's wicked, that's wrong. I'm talking about when it goes from speaking the truth to now cursing, to reviling, to humiliating, to ejecting the belief that we have a faith that says that there are people that are in bondage to sin can actually be born again. That we somehow forget that the guy that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament was killing Christians. He was ISIS. We forget that. Like, we just delete that out of our mind and go, well, yeah, you know, that was just then and this is now. We get to now say whatever we want about people. No, you don't. You get to be a Christian. He says, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That means get on your knees alone in the secret place with your dad and go, Father. Father, instead of getting on the Instagram and the blog posts and the podcast and making all of your points, on your knees, Dad, this hurts so bad, but God, I pray that you would bless them. I pray that you would deliver them of their hatred and their vitriol and their blindness, God. God, I pray that you would open the eyes of their heart to your forgiveness and to your love and to your mercy, that you would save them, God. Save them from the hatred. Save them, God. You begin to pray and bless your enemies. Pray for those. Why? So that you may be sons. He's saying, what's he doing? Then he points to the Father. Look at this. He goes, for your Father makes his son rise on the evil and on the good. See, if we had our way and you had power of the sun, you'd go, all right, all the sun for the good people that I like, no sun for the evil people. Oh, you're not of my political affiliation, no sun for you. Oh, you did something I don't like, no sun for you, no rain for you, you're gonna be in a drought, we're gonna all be in San Diego. What? If we had that power, we would do that, many of us. And he says, but your Father gives the sun on the evil and the good. He causes rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. Why? Because he's unjust? No, because he got it. He got it. He paid for sin once and for all. And we are living now in days of grace. God making his appeal through the church, be reconciled to God. Men not counting, men not having their sins, their trespasses counted against them. God making his appeal, be reconciled to him. This is the hour we live in. We live in days of reconciliation, days of redemption, days of salvation. Come on. Today is the day of salvation. We have the opportunity to put the gospel on our lips, to heal the sick, cast out demons, and declare your sins don't count. Repent, receive it. Be born again. And instead we open our mouths and we curse and we revile and we go, I can't believe they're doing this. Man, I'm so amazed. I'm amazed. This is what I'm amazed at. Can I just spare you some time? When Christians come up to me and they're amazed that the world is acting like the world, that amazes me. Why are Christians amazed that the world is acting like the world? That's not amazing to me. What's amazing to me is when a Christian is amazed that a sinner is acting like a sinner. And that you allow sinners to make you complain and grumble and go, well, we're all going to hell in a handbasket. That's amazing to me. It's amazing to me that we don't preach the gospel. It's amazing to me. We don't preach it to ourselves, to our spouses, to our families, in our workplaces. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is awesome. The gospel is the power of God to save mankind. And we have it. We have it in our hearts and in our mouths, in our countenances. We are those whose sins, blessed is the man whose sins have been forgiven, whose lawless deeds are remembered no more. I like that. I don't know about you. I like it. I like it. I like waking up in the morning to a nice, cold, warm cup of your sins have been forgiven. That's nice. Woo, that's nice. That's number one, love your enemies. If you have someone in your life that you deem as an enemy, I wanna bless you. The invitation tonight is to love them and to pray for them. Romans 12, I'll give you two more and then we'll go home. Romans 12, can I just wash you with the word tonight? Yes. Bless those, verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Verse 18, if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceable with all. Verse 19, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Listen, beloved, never avenge yourselves. I was pondering this. You know why the Avengers is like a billion-dollar, you know, whatever movie thing? Because we all think we're Avengers. We all watch it thinking we're gonna, like, I'm Spider-Man. No, you're not. You can't do it. You are not an Avenger. We watch that, we're like, yes, I'm eating popcorn, like I'm an Avenger. No, you are not. He's the Avenger. This is him. Look at what he says. Look at what he says. He says, never avenge yourselves. Meaning when someone sins against you, there's injustice. There's something that rises up inside of us from the very, very beginning. It's the blood of Abel. Can I just reference that? It's the blood of Abel that cries out for justice. And many of us, we're living under the blood of Abel. We're speaking the blood of Abel. We're going, well, this happened to me. This is wrong. Abel was wrongfully killed. He was 100% right and innocent. And Cain rises up and kills him. And the blood of Abel has a voice. And that voice right now is speaking all over the earth. And guess what? It's right. The blood of Abel isn't wrong. This is what's so confusing, I think, to the body of Christ. The blood of Abel is right. And we're like, yeah, he makes a really good point. That's right. Cain killed Abel. Cain should be punished. Yeah, he should be punished. He's going to wander on the earth. That seems just. He killed his brother. He should wander. Come on. How many of you argue with that punishment? But the Bible says in Hebrews 12, it says, but we have come to Mount Zion. We have come to Jesus. And we have come to the sprinkled blood of Christ that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. The blood of Jesus says, love your enemies. The blood of Jesus says, I forgive you. The blood of Jesus says, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The blood of Jesus says, I'm gonna be kind to you in your evilness towards me. That's what the blood says. And we are Christians who are following Christ, not the way of the world. And I think there has been a leaven of the world's thinking. The blood of Abel has just, it's just washed our minds. And we're like, yeah, the blood of Abel, that's just, yeah, we need to do that. And listen, there are laws set up by God for people who break the law. There is punishment. But I am not a policeman. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a judge. I'm a Christian. Now, if you're a lawyer or a judge or a police officer, you get to do your job, and I pray that you do it well. Because God set up governing authority so that we don't have chaos around here. Come on, are you hearing me? God has governing authorities. We have cops walking around with guns. We live in Texas, praise God. People open carry, you know, it's like, wow. But there are laws. If you break the law, you'll go to jail. You'll get a ticket. You'll get a fine. Come on. But I'm not in law enforcement. I'm not a judge in that way. Are you with me? I'm a Christian. And so I have an obligation to follow Christ because I'm calling myself a... Look at this. God says, vengeance is mine, I will repay. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. Some of us need to get in the kitchen. Some of you don't, maybe you don't know how to cook. There's something called DoorDash. You can DoorDash it to them. I'm so serious. See, you can read the Bible or you can do the Bible. Life is found when you do it. Some of you have enemies. You have an uncle that betrayed you. You have whatever. You have someone in your life. You're like, man, I just don't. I can't with them. They're just unsafe. Da, da, da. DoorDash them a meal tonight. Why? How can you do that? Because you follow him. And God's kindness leads men to repentance. Look. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Look at this. He's teaching us the way of the cross, and he's teaching us the way of the blood of Jesus. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. We can overcome evil with good, with love, with blessing, with kindness, with joy, with forgiveness. We can actually overcome all the evil that's happening with a smile on our face. Psalm 2, why do the nations rage? Rah, 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 the nations are raging, rah, 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 rah. They're in war, rah, rah, rah. But exactly, now you're doing it. Now you're with me. You're with me in Psalm 2. Why do the rah, 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 the nations rage? But he who sits in the heavens, he laughs. He laughs. He's not laughing at them. He's not laughing at their sin. He's secure in his lordship and his authority. He's not moved by the nations raging. He's not moved by the political turmoil. He's not moved by an election cycle. He's not moved by the eclipse tomorrow. Praise God. Some of you are like, He who sits in the heaven laughs. He holds them in derision. You know why? Because he's king. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's king. You can put that other slide side by side. These are 2 days of judgment. This is God saying, I got it. You don't have to avenge it. You don't have to do it. You get to live in grace. The last one I'll read to you is 1 Peter 2. Danny, can you come up here? Thanks, bro. Just going to have Danny come up here because otherwise I think we'll all just be caught up in a whirlwind. Danny may take us there. 1 Peter is in the Bible. Go to 1 Peter 2. I'm just going to end with this. This is crazy. Yeah, keep those up there. Look at this. This is discipline. Feeding your enemy, that's discipline. That's your dad saying, hey, I need you to do this. To walk that path, he's fathering you. That's painful. Amen? This is the last one. Servants, 1 Peter 2:18. Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect. Look at this. Not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the unjust. God is telling Christians to be subject to unjust masters. Look at this, 19. For this is a gracious thing. When mindful of God, one endures sorrows while suffering unjustly. This means if you're suffering unjustly, it means that pain is being afflicted to you and it's not right, meaning you didn't deserve it, meaning you were doing good, you were doing the right thing, you were doing the righteous thing, and someone is actually afflicting you who has power and authority over you. They misunderstand you, they're not treating you fairly, and he says, this is gracious. When you're mindful of God, you endure that. Not fix it, not slander them, not revile them, but when you actually just endure that mistreatment, it says, that's so gracious. Verse 20, what credit is it if when you sin and are beaten for it, you endure? But if when you do good and suffer for it, you endure, this is a gracious thing in the sight of God. And now it gets so much worse. You don't see many conferences on verse 21. For to this you have been called. We're going to do an altar call for the calling. How many of you want to receive the calling? Suffering unjustly for doing good. The altar is open. It is open. For to this you have been called. Watch this. Because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth. When he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. See, the blood of the cross becomes the blood of his robe. And the blood of his robe is his kingly authority to execute justice on the earth. Make no mistake, Jesus is coming back to judge the living and the dead. And so Jesus, in his days on earth, he continued entrusting himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin, not just sins inside of us, but die to sin against us and live to righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed, for you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. I'm gonna have the ministry team come up here. We're gonna open the altar. And I really mean it. This ministry team is gonna be here. If you need God to heal you tonight, hear me, I wanna be real clear about something. If you need God, like you feel like there's been pain and trauma, sin, abuse, and you haven't really known how to deal with it, I believe these guys have been anointed tonight to pray for you, to wash you, to see you delivered, to see you finally come up out of that thing and to be made whole. If you've made an idol of your pain, come tonight. For the rest of you, this is the call. Before you leave, before everyone just scatters, this altar is open. And I believe this with all of my heart, that we need to embrace this calling. See, we've celebrated the calling of worship leader and pastor and church planter and prophet. We're like, I want the calling of a prophet. What about the calling to follow in his footsteps, to suffer injustice while doing good? I think we need to magnify this calling in this last hour, because if you embrace this calling, guess what? You'll be an amazing pastor. You'll be an amazing worship leader. You'll be an amazing church planter, an amazing prophet. But if you don't receive this calling and see it as paramount, man, sin will come against you. You'll start suffering for doing good, and you'll start reviling. You'll start compromising. You'll start maybe engaging, straying in immorality. And this is what we see. And so I wanna leave this altar open. If that's you and tonight you're like, man, I wanna walk on this narrow path, the way of the cross, I want you to just come and just say, Lord, tonight, you don't have to come long, whatever God's doing in your heart, but you're coming and you're saying, God, I'm gonna present myself to you. I wanna receive this calling. Would you stand to your feet? I'm gonna pray for you. Just stand, everyone stand, and then you can come, or come if you need healing. Yeah, why don't you just go ahead and come? If that's you, you know, you're like, man, I'm crossing over tonight. I wanna walk in this way of the cross. You can just come. If you need healing, you can find someone, one of these guys up here. Come, come, come. Come, come, come. Come, come, come. Come on, church. Don't check out just yet. Just the last 2 minutes here. We're gonna extend our faith. The body's gonna be the body tonight. Yeah, if you're coming forward and you're like, Lord, I'm receiving this calling. I'm not gonna resist your discipline. I want you to father me. I want you to discipline me. I wanna share in your holiness. Now, church, can we extend our hands right now to those receiving healing, to those receiving ministry right now? Let's extend and begin to pray for these ones right here with the ministry team. Begin to pray that the Spirit of God comes and breaks down that idol of pain, begins to heal and mend broken hearts. Come on, open your voice. Pray for them as if it was your son or daughter. Lord, we thank you for healing. We thank you for redemption. Holy Spirit, come. bind up the broken hearts. Now just extend your hands to these ones that have come up and they're like, man, I'm going to walk this path. I'm not going to resist pain anymore. Come on, just extend and say, Lord, would you strengthen their knees, strengthen their hands, strengthen their hearts. God, let them share in your holiness. God, let them not resist your loving hand. Let them not resist the discipline of the Father. God, we embrace it. We know that you discipline us for our good, not to kill us, not to destroy us. Give us grace tonight to bless. Give us grace tonight to come up out of that victim spirit, that orphan mindset, Lord. We want to walk in true sonship. We want to be sons of our Father in heaven, loving our enemies, praying for those who persecute us, enduring sorrows, enduring injustice, picking up our cross and following you, God. I thank you for the grace and the capacity that there is life, God. There is resurrection life. Oh, the Lord says, your experience of death is nothing in comparison to what he went through. And that there is resurrection for you. There is life for you. Lord, strengthen us tonight. Strengthen our faith. Lord, thank you that our capacity to love is bigger than we think. God, I pray for these ones that have come. Lord, I pray that you would expand their capacity to love like you, to forgive like you. God, to walk in joy, to entrust you, God, to entrust their hearts to you. Put your hand on your heart. God, we love you. Lord, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that we cannot flex our way into this reality, that we gaze our way into this reality. We gaze at your son. We consider him tonight. If we do nothing else, if we forget everything else, we consider this man. God, the evidence of things that we haven't seen and the substance of what we hope for, God, let faith arise tonight in all of our hearts, Lord. Let us be those whose love does not grow cold but remains burning hot, Lord. May we stay dressed and ready for action. God, prepared and ready for your return. We love you, we honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.